Today is Reconciliation Sunday. So this is a special prayer made just for reconciliation. So as we pray, please listen to the words. Listening God, help me to listen, especially to this person who has hurt me. Help me to listen to their heart rather than focusing only on my heart. But help me to be wise and to protect my heart from further harm. Open my ears. Give me ears to hear this person. Help me to hear them as a person rather than as the other who wounded me. Open my eyes. Give me eyes to see this person. Help me to see them as a person who is loved and cherished by you, just as I am loved and cherished by you. Loving God, you said I am to love my enemies and to bless those who hurt me. Help me to love wisely, to love myself, and to love this person. Help me to trust you to be in this process of reconciling with this person. Help me to release my resentment, my bitterness, my anger. Forgive me for thwarting this process and for getting in your way of healing this broken situation. Forgive me for choosing conflict avoidance over conflict transformation. And, in turn, help me to forgive myself. Reconciling God, I pray for goodwill to be restored in this broken relationship. I pray for freedom for both of us. I thank you for your faithfulness to me and to this person. I am grateful for your constancy to us. I am grateful for your desire for relationships to be healing and restorative. I thank you for your reconciling work in both our hearts. I praise and bless your holy name. Amen.
Today's reading is from Esther 7, 1 through 6, 9 through 10, and 9, 20 through 22. So the king and Haman went to Queen Esther's banquet, and as they were drinking wine on the second day, the king asked, "Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is it, your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Then Queen Esther answered, "If I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition. And spare my people. That is my request. For I and my people have been sold to be destroyed, killed, and annihilated. If we are merely been sold as male and female slaves, I would have kept quiet, because no such distress would justly disturb the king." But Xerxes asked Queen Esther, "Who is he? Where is he, the man who has dared to do such a thing?" Esther said, "An adversary and an enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching the height of 50 cubits stands at Haman's house. He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, 'Impale him on it.' So they impaled Haman on the pole he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided." Mordecai recorded these events, and he sent letters to all the Jews throughout the provinces of King Xerxes, near and far, to have them celebrate annually the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar, as a time when the Jews got relief from their enemies, and as the month when their sorrow was turned into joy, and their mourning into the day of celebration. He wrote them to observe these days as days of feasting and joy, and giving presents of food to one another and gifts to the poor. Blessed be the reading of the Lord.
Thank you. Appreciate the reading, choir. That was amazing. You've been practicing. That's really pretty. Thank you.
When the king found that Haman had abused Esther and her people, he knew he must reconcile with Esther. The king could have easily blown off the whole thing. After all, it wasn't the king who wronged her and her people. He could have said, sorry, then moved on. But the king was aware of two things that many people today seem to have forgotten. One, Haman had wronged the king by wronging Esther and her people. And two, the need for reconciliation for the relationship to be healthy and right. Now, those two things, we could have seen King Xerxes giving forgiveness to Haman, but he didn't do that. And he didn't forgive him because he knew that in order to reconcile with Esther, there was something more that he had to do. And as Christians, we know the need for forgiveness. I hear that all the time. We know the Lord taught his disciples and thereby taught us to forgive. Yet for many of us, it stops right there. We forgive, but seldom do we reconcile. When the poet Elizabeth Barrett became the wife of Robert Browning, her parents disowned her because they disapproved of the marriage. Their daughter Elizabeth, however, wrote almost every week telling them that she loved them and longed for reconciliation. After 10 years, she received a huge box in the mail that contained all the notes she had sent. Not one had been opened. Although these love letters have now become a precious part of classical English literature, it's really sad to think they were never read by Elizabeth Barrett's own parents. Had they just looked at one, the broken relationship with their daughter might have been healed. But they didn't even take the first step, forgiveness. And maybe that's because they knew if they forgave, then they would be looking at reconciliation. And forgiveness and reconciliation are two different things. This is where so many people miss the boat. You may say you forgive someone without having reconciled yourself with them. And today on Reconciliation Sunday, I want us all to be thinking about people in our lives that we say we have forgiven, but we've never reconciled ourselves with them. Forgiveness is only the first step to reconciliation. Let's look at Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Her parents never took the first step. Therefore, step two, reconciliation, never occurred. Her parents could have sent a letter stating that they forgave her. That would have been fine and well. But if they never spoke to her, visited her, or accepted her husband, they would have never been reconciled with her. You heard the old saying, I can forgive, but I can't forget. Why has reconciliation fallen through the cracks? Do you remember Amy Beale? Amy Beale died a violent death in 1993. She was a 26-year-old Fulbright scholar who had gone to South Africa to help register black voters for their first free election. But even though she was seeking to help the people of South Africa, as she was driving one day, she was dragged out of her car, stabbed and beaten to death by a mob, which was committed to violence in order to overthrow the apartheid government. Soon afterward, Amy's parents, Linda and Peter Beale, quit their jobs and moved from their Orange County, California home to South Africa, not to seek revenge, but to start a foundation in Amy's name. To this day, two of her killers work for the foundation. They call Mrs. Beale Makula, or grandmother, because of the way she treats them. She says, forgiving is looking at ourselves and saying, I don't want to go through life feeling hate and vengeful because that's not going to do me any good. We took Amy's lead. We did what we felt she would want. That is the picture of reconciliation. It not only forgives, it reaches out to restore. It pays back good for evil. It is following the heart and character of God, for the Bible says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It's not easy. You know, you hear people, oh, I forgive you. That's easy. You can say it. But to reconcile, that's not easy. That's really hard. And no one knew that better than Jesus. Can you remember a time when you were wronged? Did you forgive the person or persons who wronged you? Did you reconcile with them? If so, what did that look like? If you did not reconcile, do you feel something is missing in your life? Has a spouse wronged you or a child? Has a parent wronged you? So often a husband, wife, child, or all three will come through the door of a counselor's office. Many times one or all three feel wronged. How does it play out? Perhaps this will give you an idea. I have this experience a lot when it's a counseling session. A despondent woman was walking along the beach when she saw a bottle on the sand. She picked it up and pulled out the cork. Whoosh! A big puff of smoke appeared. "You have released me from my prison," the genie told her. "To show my thanks, I grant you 3 wishes, but take care, for with each wish, your mate will receive double whatever you request." "Why?" the woman asked. "That bum left me." "That is how it is written," replied the genie. The woman shrugged and then asked for $1 million. There was a flash of light and $1 million appeared at her feet. At the same instant, in a far-off place, her wayward husband looked down to see twice that amount at his feet. "And your second wish?" "Genie, I want the world's most expensive diamond necklace." Another flash of light, and the woman was holding the precious treasure. And in that distant place, her husband was looking for a gem broker to buy his latest bonanza. "Genie, is it really true that my husband has $2 million and more jewels than I do, and that he gets double whatever I wish for?" The genie said that it was indeed true. "Okay, genie, I'm ready for the last wish," the woman said. "Scare me half to death." That's not reconciliation. That doesn't even have a tinge of forgiveness in it. So many people do not want to reconcile. Here's what I've heard many times in sessions. "I forgave him, but I will never trust him again. I will stick with her, but I won't ever really love her. I love my parents, but I can't stand to be around them." Those are tough ones, especially coming from kids. In all these cases, the person is not reconciled. Reconciliation brings about a renewed relationship. Reconciliation brings about renewed trust and love. When you are reconciled with someone, you want to be around them. Does this mean it has to happen overnight? No, certainly not. Not everything happens as quickly as it does in Scripture. King Xerxes asked Queen Esther who he is. Where is he? The man who has dared to do such a thing. Esther said, "An adversary and enemy, this vile Haman." Then Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs attending the king, said, "A pole reaching to a height of 50 cubits stands by Haman's house." He had it set up for Mordecai, who spoke up to help the king. The king said, "Impale him on it." So they impaled Haman on the pole that he had set up for Mordecai. Then the king's fury subsided. Notice it says, "Then the king's fury subsided." Keep in mind that while the king was reconciling things with Esther, Haman paid the price for the reconciliation.
Who is having to pay the price for your reconciliation? What creates, what makes reconciliation possible? A wife came to a counselor's office full of hatred toward her husband. "I do not only want to get rid of him, I want to get even. Before I divorce him, I want to hurt him as much as he has hurt me." The counselor suggested an ingenious plan. "Go home and act as if you really love your husband. Tell him how much he means to you. Praise him for every decent trait. Go out of your way to be as kind, considerate, and generous as possible. Spare no efforts to please him, to enjoy him. Make him believe you love him. After you've convinced him of your undying love and that you cannot live without him, then drop the bomb. Tell him you're getting a divorce. That will really hurt him." With revenge in her eyes, she smiled and exclaimed, "Beautiful, beautiful. Will he ever be surprised?" And she did it with enthusiasm. Acting as she was told, for 2 months, she showed love, kindness, listening, giving, and sharing. And after 2 months passed, she didn't return. The counselor called. "Are you ready now to go through with the divorce?" "Divorce?" she exclaimed. "Never. I discovered I really do love him." Her actions had changed her feelings. Motion resulted in emotion. The ability to love and reconcile is established not so much by fervent promise as by often repeated deeds. Now think about this. God's wrath has been on his people many times. He put Adam and Eve out of Eden. He marked Cain and sent him away. He flooded the earth to cleanse it. And let's not forget Sodom and Gomorrah. The list can go on. And we can add that after each of these events, there was forgiveness given. New covenants made. Read the scripture. Every time there was forgiveness and a new agreement. Yet it was not until his son died on the cross that there was reconciliation. Forgiveness and reconciliation. The question for us today is this: are there those whom we have forgiven but have not been reconciled with? Are we still sitting and seething over something they've done? What we must do to bring about reconciliation. In Esther, we can learn that it is not the person who has wronged that brings about reconciliation, but the person who was wronged. Is not the same true with God? It was not he who did wrong, but he who was wronged. And he brought about reconciliation. If there is someone in your life that you have not been reconciled with, now is the time to make it happen. As Mrs. Beale said, going through life feeling hate and vengeful isn't going to do you any good. I pray that we may be a people, indeed a church of reconciliation. For it is up to each one of us as Christians to reconcile ourselves with the person who has wronged us, just as God sent his only Son to reconcile with us. Let us pray. Gracious God, there are so many in our lives that have wronged us or we've wronged them, and oftentimes we only take the first step. We say the words, "I forgive you." May we be a people in a church of reconciliation, that we take that next step and that we make things right between us and them, that they may know we are your children and that we walk in your light. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.